Join Pastor George Izunwa on a journey of genuine God encounters through the Word of God. Through the teachings of Pastor George Izunwa, you will gain knowledge on how to triumph over challenges and transform them into testimonies. For more information and testimonies, contact us at 0702-5000-950 or 0702-5000-951. Experience the power of God's Word. Jesus exceeds expectations.
Well, we are dealing with he or she loves me, but the family doesn't want me. Before we go far, let me read Bible for you. Romans chapter 12, 16 to 21. It says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you as honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Next verse. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Can I hear your amen?
Amen.
Now, because some of the things I'm going to say and what I'm going to deal with, I need you to know. It can be very disheartening if you are in a love relationship, in courtship or in marriage, and then the family hates you. And many times it will trigger in you a desire to fight back. But let's start by telling you that's not where we're going to. Let's start by telling you God says to you, your attitude will matter in this case. And if you put up the right attitude, God will take over. If you put up the wrong attitude, God will leave you to your own case. Now, when we're talking about he or she loves me, but the family doesn't want me, let's assume, number one, either the person has mentioned it to you, that they are strong opposition from the family, or you sensed it, or you have already had some issues with them, or you notice that they intentionally exclude you or ignore you. You just notice that these people are not free with me. Maybe the man said, I went to tell my mother and he's angry, he doesn't want to see you. Or you just felt it. Whichever the case, the first thing we do is we analyze the problem. The first thing is this. If a young guy has gone to tell his father and mother that he's in love with you, or a young lady, and they are angry, or they hate you, or they don't want you, it's maybe they don't trust his or her capacity for right decisions. Let's start with that. Because if your parents trust your capacity for right decisions, the way they react when you make a decision is different. If this young man, I trust his capacity to make a right decision, when he makes a decision I don't understand, I call him and we discuss it. He explains to me the rationale behind the decision. But if I don't trust his decision making, when he makes a decision, I don't even ask him why, I overrule it. Anytime a young man or a young woman tells you that the parents, I like you, but I brought you to my parents and they're saying no. He's telling you my people don't trust my decision making. They're concerned with my decision making process. You got to understand that. If they're not talking it with him, but are insisting and fighting, they don't trust his decision making process. Now before we go far, please listen to me. If the people closest to him don't trust his decision-making process, please check whether you are right or wrong. Check! Let's take it very simple. I have children now. And it's okay that my daughter is dating somebody. And if my daughter is dating somebody and they have an issue, she was going out with somebody and she had an issue. And she called me. I was out of town. She called me. I said, "That we need to talk." I said, "No problem." I said, "When I come back," he said, "No." I said, "You're coming back. I'll be in so-and-so restaurant. Let your people drive you down there. You meet me there." So we arrived at Port Harcourt, and they drove me to the hotel. I sat down there. I said, "Okay, what is the issue?" And she starts narrating and all that. I listened to her. I said, "No problem. What do you think?" She told me what her decisions were, and I said, "Thank you." And I walked away. Now, I didn't make any impute on that. I wanted to hear her out. Later, I met some counsel. But if I don't trust her decision, I will start screaming. I won't ask her, what is your thinking? What do you want? How are you going this? So start with that. That the young man you are looking at, if his mother doesn't trust his thinking, his brother doesn't trust his thinking, his sister doesn't trust his thinking, something is wrong. So if you're a young man here, why don't they believe that you can make the right choice? You have to ask yourself that question. Either you are too young to make that choice, or you have made too many past mistakes, or you are over-dependent on them. And the last one is the most important case. The moment you are over-dependent on family, they will be intrusive in your decisions. Whether married or not. Another thing, when you analyze it, when somebody says, I love this guy, but the parents are saying no. There may be pre-existing prejudice in his or her family. It may not be about you. It may be about a pre-existing prejudice. You know why I'm doing this is because whenever emotions are involved, people don't think again. So that's why I'm getting you through the analysis. The young man is a Yoruba chap. You're an Ikwere girl. He takes you to the mother. And the mother doesn't like anybody from this area. The mother said, no! The mother is not saying no to you. The mother is saying no to South South. Do you understand? You can grow up in families where people have pre-existing prejudice. My dad was working in Calabar and then civil war started. And he was still there, posted there. And he was working there. And then he had this boy serving under him. He had drivers and some cooks and all of that. And they're from Calabar. And then when the Nigerians were trying to come into Calabar, he began to pack. He finished packing, loaded in a vehicle, his office vehicle that's under him. On the day Calabar was about to fall, he came in, got up very early in the morning because they've had information that within the next 2 days, Calabar will be falling. They didn't know it was going to fall earlier. As he was about to get up that morning, sent a call for his driver and order to get him some things to move. This young man came out with other young men and they had guns. And they collected every property he owned on earth and drove away the vehicle and walked away. And he had to trek from Calabar down many places before somebody rescued him and brought him back. My father never forgot that trauma about how a Calabar boy treated him. Now, if I grew up with that mentality, I won't relate well with Calabar people. You say they betray people. But everybody born into my family had the story from my father's mouth. Because even after many years, he still remembers the trauma. That this guy is a young man working with you. You trusted him. You ate with him. You go to work with him. You do everything. And he comes out in the morning, shows you a gun, and says everything you drop and you have to move. And you started trekking. Looking for help, not one kobo in your pocket. What of if I died? That's his trauma. The people saying, I don't like this tribe. I don't like that tribe. I don't like that tribe. Do you know they have their reasons? But that not liking them, does it make their reason personal? That somebody from that area did that thing, does it mean everybody from that area will do the same thing? But families will tell those stories and build prejudice. Do you know there's some Yoruba people that cannot do anything with an Igbo man? Because an Igbo man duped them before. Those prejudices are not godly. Those prejudices are not born of God. You can tell those stories, but Jesus wants you to let it go. And when your heart falls for somebody, when you are in love with somebody, when God is leading you towards somebody, God knows that you and that person share a history that goes beyond time, that goes beyond those things that happen. There's a connection that he can use to create destiny. When Moab was excluded from relating with Israel, he didn't exclude Ruth. Why? Because the connection of Ruth to Israel will give a channel to the Messiah. So yes, there may be bad things that happen. But I also want you to understand that those prejudices, you have to let them go. Don't let your parents feed you with that. Many times, young people here are listening. When your parents or relatives or siblings are insisting on that,
because they have pre-existing prejudice. You got to sit down with them and make a case. Stand your ground and let them know, this particular person, I love this person. I'm not marrying a tribe, I'm marrying a person. And the character of this person fits me. The third thing, as we analyze, oh, he loves me and his people hate me. The third thing there is this, that the presentation of the relationship may be negative. The way you and the young man presented a relationship to them may be negative. That's why they don't like you.
What do I mean?
Let me start with very, very, very holy people. Very committed Christians. So, you are courting their son. And then the mother is a leader or a worker in a church. Maybe the father is a pastor. And they see you every time you sneak in and sleep with their son. Immediately, they put in a category. Immediately, they put in a category. The name on your face now has become Jezebel. You are the one leading their son to sin. So now, why will that woman or that man or that pastor or that bishop stand the ground and say, I don't want this girl in this home? Because that girl didn't keep her estate. That girl is a loose girl. You say, ah, but it's a boy that tempted her. No, it's not the boy that tempted her. She should be wise enough to say no. So the person says, I don't want her here. She's a corrupting influence. It may be the boy that's a corrupting influence. So many times, parents who are religious, who are conservative, who are Christianly, when they look at you, the way you presented a relationship, either in morality or in dressing, you went to see a woman that has been a Christian and you are going there. You wear a trouser. Wear a small skimpy thing with your belly, your stomach hanging out. And then this thing is cut here until one breast is outside. The other one, we're trying to put it back. And you go there. Mama, mama, mama. The woman look at you. Is it? Kai! She's not Kapola. The moment the woman looks at you, say, hey, I fool her in this family. What is going on? My son, hey, hey, hey. Oh, RML. My son, marry Jezebel, Jezebel. Young girl, it's you that chose to be Jezebel. Please listen to me. The moment you get into a relationship, the moment you are maturing in life, there is something called age-appropriate dressing. The moment a lady crosses 25, don't dress everything you see on TV. You don't need preaching to know to cover your body. I see some people, they even marry, they wear some of those things. They move around, they wear some of those things and all of that. People take them as loose people. Nobody takes them serious. So when you appear, the way you presented the relationship is why they're saying no to you, not to demon. The woman is trying to protect the family. You are an intrusion. You came with Obanje. The same thing with some young man. This man and woman are serious committed Christians. And you're going, you wear torn jeans, make your hair and paint one yellow. One part yellow, one part red. You walk and enter there. I am not saying you are a sinner. All I'm saying is that you are presenting yourself bad. As you come in there, cry in there, Nangoof. Hey, my daughter, Fuola. He said, Kai. Oh. So my daughter, didn't see anybody. Is this me that smoke wee-wee? Yeah, 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 yeah. She starts 21-day fasting that same day. Oh, God, deliver my daughter. No matter what you say, it's finished. You presented yourself wrong. Some people, the presentation is about money. They are high maintenance. High maintenance. Today, I need this. My mother, my father, my this, my dad. From the beginning of the relationship, you start paying school fees. You start buying food. You start buying house rent. And then the brother living with him finds out. And all the information is going to mama. The presentation of the relationship is what messed up your relationship. Back off a little. Some people say, he loves me or she loves me. And all about, no. You are dating a young girl that is not yet married to you, but she has a car. You don't have a car. And every day you are with her car. That is why when the person says no, he never marry you. The mother just visits a young man. The way you present a relationship. And friends, you have been living there for weeks. And you answer sister in church. How you know the mother is concerned is she ask you, which church should they go, sir? You have been living with the son. And the mother asks you, which church should they go? You don't finish. Because as far as she's concerned, you can't be a real child of God living here. If you don't analyze it, you say, they hate me. There's no reason. No, there's major reason. The way you presented the relationship. Or even the way you present, let me give you another way people present relationship. You see, one of the ways people present relationship bad is this. You just start a relationship with somebody. And then, in the midst of a relationship, maybe you've been cutting for 2 years, 1 year, or whatever, and all that. And then you have an issue with the junior sister, and you flare up. And you talk, you quarrel, you make anger, you get all of that, and all that. And the family is hearing. You are trying to make a case. You are trying to assert who you are. You are trying to, and all that, they're hearing. What they are seeing is not what their daughter did. What they are seeing is that this person has a capacity for quarrel. That if this girl comes into this family, she will quarrel so tight, she go break up. Now, everything they did against you is genuine. But the family is afraid that the family will break up if you come. Because you have a capacity for quarrel. You have proven your ability. You see, I'm analyzing this so that before we get into solution, you can see that some of these things have reason. The fourth one is this, that your favor and communication level is not enough. This is the one many of us face. They say, I need deliverance. Pray for me. Break the yoke. Something is wrong. Yeah, it is true that something may be wrong. Sometimes your favor and communication level may not be enough. You may need help spiritually. This last one is possible. You may be doing everything right, but until God breaks through for you, if there's something resisting you, if there's a bondage fighting you, if there's a demonic power against your life, that thing can hinder you at the age of breakthrough. So deliverance is okay. It's okay to go through deliverance. But check other factors before deliverance. Even after deliverance, check other factors. Be sure you're not violating in all these places. Now, if you notice that your favor level is not okay, go for deliverance. Sow seeds of favor. If you notice your communication and relationship skills level is not okay, sit down and study and learn it. You can build up on that. You may not be a good communicator. You may not be good with relationship, but you need it if you are going to enter into a family. And please look up here. Anybody you are marrying right now has known those people that are opposing you longer than he or she knows you. Let's say this young man is interested in this young lady. And then this is his brother. This is his father. This is the mother. So this young man is there. This young girl is angry that these people are not accepting her. And she's making up her mind to fight them and own this person. The issue is this, that this person has a longer history with these people than she knows. For example, this person gained admission to university and couldn't go to university because the parents couldn't pay for him to go to school. So he went to learn job and started working very early so as to help train this person in secondary school. You are not aware, but the family is aware. You don't know their history. When this young man was young, the father lost the job. He couldn't pay his school fees. For 7 years, the mother was paying house rent and school fees and feeding for the family. Until the man gathered himself. You were not aware, but the family is aware. Before the man became the person you met, many waters has passed under the bridge. Yes, his attachment to his family is higher than you know. Because he's owing them a debt you don't understand. The same thing for the woman. I can tell you the same story still. Some of them, the father raised them as a single parent. Some, the mother raised them as a single parent. Some of them, the father died early and the woman took everything in her to raise that son or that daughter. What I'm saying, is that true?
And then you step in.
And the woman said, no. And you say, I'm going to fight. Calm down before you enter battle. There is a lot of history you don't know. So before you make it a battle, start with understanding. Because when you talk about nuclear families and all kinds of things, you don't understand. The parents have influence over them because a lot has gone on. So now that the parents are saying no, what are some critical questions you must ask? Number one, what is the basis of my personal conviction about this relationship? That's a question you must ask. What is the basis of my personal conviction about this relationship?
If this person's parents are saying no, before you continue, before you insist that you have to go forward, you have to first be sure of why you are convinced it is him. The first thing is not whether you like him or not, whether you are ready to marry or not. That's not the issue. The first thing is, why am I convinced it's him? You know why is the first question? Because sometimes resistance can be redirection. Sometimes resistance can be redirection. It could be that the parents of this young man telling him don't go, maybe God redirecting him. It could be God redirecting this lady. There are times that resistance is redirection. So before you jump in and say, no, I must break through. I must marry. No, they can't stop us. Ask yourself, is God in this journey? Do you know that God can use the resistance and opposition of people to direct your path? He can use them to challenge your thinking. You have to ask yourself, I want to marry this man. Why? I want to marry her. Why? It is at that point that you settle in your heart whether God is guiding you or not. You have to be sure. Because if something goes wrong tomorrow, you are on your own. So why will my father and mother say no and I marry the wrong person? You better be sure. So resistance can be redirection. Before you get angry, before you quarrel, before you call church people to pray, get to be sure. Ask yourself, what is the basis? Why am I marrying her? Is it that she has a long leg? Or that his body, the muscle is very strong? You know, the 6-pack or 8-pack or 10-pack, whichever the pack, is well packed. Is anybody hearing me here? Or that I parked a car outside. Why am I in this relationship? Or that I'm just old and I need to leave my father's house. Why am I here? Resistance can be redirection. So be sure. If after checking up, you convince yourself, super convinced, that God is here, your boldness must increase. Anything you are convinced God is involved in, don't let go of it easily. Be determined to make it work. The second question you should ask is this. Is there room to begin a positive relationship or navigate a compromise with them? Is there any room for me to begin a relationship with this family? If there is no room, you are in a mess. There are some people that when they say no, there is no room for compromise. There are others, when they say no, you can actually reach them and talk to them and discuss with them. If there's no room for that, then the third question comes. Even in case of the room for that, this third question also matters. Is this person I am dating of quality character and mental toughness? If this young man or young woman or this husband, a person of quality character and mental toughness. If this young lady is dating this young man, and the parents of this young man are saying no, and both of them are waiting and say, okay, just wait, let's convince them and all that. 1 year pass, 2 years pass, 3 years pass, and all of that. And this person is not a person of mental toughness. After some time, he wears out. And he goes on and starts dating another girl. Either behind you or by breaking the relationship. And then he has kept you 3 years waiting. And 3 years wasted. So if this person is not somebody of quality character, don't wait with him. Because when the going gets tough, he will abandon you. Is anybody hearing me here today? Now, if he's not of quality character and both of you decide, let's go and marry, let's ignore them, and you marry, and things go tough, he will abandon you and go back. One way or another, you will lose. The reason is simply because if the person is not of quality character, the longer they delay, the more they hurt. Because they are wasting your life. This brother is still going to cave to his mother. 5 years, if I wait with him, one day he's still going, the mother is still going to say no. He's going to say, yes, so I'm going to leave you. I can't abandon my family. But there are some people that are going to say, I'm taking you to the altar. If they come, they come. If they don't come, I'm going. When people of quality character, you can trust them. Do you know what the Bible says about unfaithfulness? It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in the day of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Have you ever had a broken tooth? You don't know how bad it is until there's something to chew. If your leg is broken, you don't know how bad it is until there's running to run. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Never put confidence in an unfaithful person. When you need him or her the most, they're going to abandon you. So if the person is not mentally tough, I guarantee you that home will break. That relationship will break at the time you don't want it to break. The last question you must ask, and this is, this family, do they have a capacity and willingness for wickedness? There are families when they say don't enter, they don't just mean you can try. They mean we will invest everything to make sure you are not here dead or alive. Any family that has a capacity and a willingness for wickedness, when you are dealing with them, be careful. There are people that say, I don't like you, but they won't do anything about it. There are others that will say, I don't like you, and they will work to undo you. They are two different people. If somebody has a capacity for malevolence, you must have a capacity for prayer before you step in. You must be brutal in your spirituality before you step in.
In today's fast-paced world, we all need contacts and mentors on social media for inspiration, motivation, and more. You can connect with Pastor George Izunwa on all his social media handles. Follow him on Facebook at Pastor George Izunwa, Instagram and Twitter at George Izunwa. Connect and let's take the journey of greatness together.